Once again this morning, as we share in God's Word together, we've included some teaching notes for you to use, and we invite you to follow along as we go through this message together and to write things down as you feel God is calling you to do so. As Pastor Dave said, with the children's time, we're beginning a new series of sermons during this Lenten season, and it's based on a book by the late Bishop Reuben Job entitled Listen, Praying in a Noisy World. And I'm excited about this series for two reasons. I'm excited about it, first of all, because communion with God through prayer is so vital for us as followers of Jesus. The goal of our lives is not just to know about Jesus, it's to know Jesus. It's to have a relationship with Jesus. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. And this series is all about strengthening that connection with Jesus, that connection that is so important that we might bear fruit for him. Now, there's a second reason I'm excited about this series, and that is that prayer is vital to our relationship with God, but we live in a noisy world. And in a noisy world, it's often difficult to find the time and the space for prayer. Our lives are just filled with so many distractions. We are attached to our smartphones, our computers, our television sets, our work, our household chores, our social calendars, and the time with God can get so easily crowded out. And so during this series, we will be encouraged to take some time to unplug from all the noise, and to find that place, that space, where we can listen and respond to God. Now, I'd like to take just a moment before we dive into this series, just to be centered. And I'm going to take a risk and ask you to close your eyes for a moment during the sermon, and just be still. Take a deep breath. Know that God is closer to you. God is closer to you even than the air that you breathe. Jesus, in the stillness of this place, come. Come and fill your lamps. Amen. Now, I'd like to ask that we watch just a brief DVD to help us get focused this morning.
My earliest memory of prayer is when my parents would pray with me, now I lay me down to sleep, right before bed. And also, the supper time prayer would, God is great, God is good. So that's what I remember the most. And then I do remember going to church, and there were some men that you just didn't want to pray because it took a long, long time. And so I knew about those long, long prayers as well.
My earliest memory of prayer was in 1999 when I was incarcerated. There was an old woman in jail, and she asked me if I knew the Lord's Prayer, and I said, what is that? No one had ever taught me to pray when I was little, and she taught me the Lord's Prayer, and I remember every day practicing it until I got the Lord's Prayer right, because I wanted to know it.
My father's a pastor. I grew up in the church. Early as I can remember, my earliest memories, I remember being taught nighttime prayer, you know, now I lay me down you know, to sleep.
I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. So I said that on a nightly basis.
You know, we were a faith-filled family early on, and my earliest memories are at my bedside, you know, with my mom or my dad, and the "Now I lay me down to sleep" prayer. That's really as far back as I can remember.
I was 10 years of age, and my grandmother had had a massive stroke, and it was the first time I'd really ever heard my mother cry. And it was painful even for a 10-year-old boy, because I could tell that she was majorly distraught. And I just remember praying to God and asking to take the pain away from my mom and make my grandmother better.
Honestly, I really don't even know my first recollection of prayer. It was one of my trips through a treatment, seeing nature and this, that, and forth, piqued my interest with something outside that was greater than me.
As you were watching that, perhaps if you were like me, you were maybe remembering your earliest experience of prayer. Some of you might remember that prayer has always been part of your life, like Pastor Dave said, and you can't remember a time when you weren't saying a bedtime prayer or blessings at meals or hearing prayer in church. But others might have had a different experience, and prayer came to you later in your life. Did you notice the young woman on the video who prayed her first prayer in prison when an older woman taught her the Lord's Prayer? I mean, can you imagine making it all the way through childhood and your teenage years with absolutely no experience of praying to God? But here's the thing. God is with that precious child who never ever heard a prayer, just as much as God is with that child of Christian parents who is surrounded in prayer even before she is born. As it says in number 2 in our notes, long before our first prayer, we were already known and loved by God. One of the daily scripture readings for this week in Bishop Job's book is our text for this morning from 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter is one of two New Testament letters attributed to the Apostle Peter. And someone has described these letters as Christianity in everyday clothes, because Peter is giving down-to-earth, very specific guidance to believers who are struggling to hold on to Jesus in a noisy world. And what's the message that Peter wants the church to hear? Well, look at verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The message Peter wants us to remember is that Jesus is God's beloved Son. Peter had climbed the mountain with Jesus. He saw the big reveal of Jesus shining in the light of God's glory. He heard the voice from heaven, "This is my Son, my beloved." Now, to say that Jesus is God's beloved with a capital B says something to us about who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is God's Messiah. He is the Word made flesh who lived and dwelled among us. He is holy, majestic, Lord of all. And surely Peter, James, and John, as we saw last week at the Transfiguration, were aware of this because they fell on their faces in fear when they heard the voice of God. But then there's something else. God's beloved, with a capital B, does not remain distant from us. He reaches down and he touches his terrified disciples and he invites them to join with him in his ministry. And in doing that, he shows us God's great love for all of us. You know, God loves you. And there is nothing you can do about that. Bishop Job writes in our book, "Learning to listen and pray in a noisy world begins with knowing that we were created by God for the purpose of knowing and loving God and others." That's why you and I were put on this earth, to know and love God and those around us. Eugene Peterson puts it this way: prayer is not something we think up to get God's attention or enlist God's favor. Prayer is answering speech. The first word is God's word. Prayer is a human word and is never the first word, never the primary word, never the initiating and shaping word, simply because we are never first, never primary. So what Eugene is saying there is that the purpose of prayer is not to invoke God's presence as if God is somehow absent from us and doesn't want to talk to us and we have to perform some ritual to get God to pay attention. We do not need to invoke God's presence because God is always and everywhere with us. God is inescapably near. And whatever your circumstances may be today, wherever you may go this week, God is there. Psalm 139 expresses this so beautifully. And I'd like to ask that we could recite a few verses of this psalm together, beginning at verse 7. "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast." Before I was ever aware of God, the psalmist writes, God was already aware of me. God was already there leading me, already there holding me fast. Our relationship with God develops in much the same way as our human relationships do. In order to develop healthy human relationships, it is important for us to spend time with each other. And the same is true in our relationship with God. Deepening our relationship with God requires a commitment of time. Look at the next verse in our passage, verse 18. Peter continues, "We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain." They encountered Christ while they were with him. Had they not been with him, they would not have had this glorious experience. And certainly this was not the first time that they were with Jesus. In fact, they were close to Jesus day in and day out, amid all the joys and all the difficulties. Now just imagine how exasperating it would be to try to have a relationship with someone who wants nothing to do with you most of the time, except when a problem arises or they need something from you, and then they call you up and expect you to respond to them right away. How many of us make no room for God in this noisy world until we have a problem, or until we need something. Anthony Bloom writes of the importance of setting apart time for prayer. If you look at the relationship in terms of mutual relationship, he writes, you will see that God could complain about us a great deal more than we about him. We complain that he does not make himself present to us for the few minutes we reserve for him, but what about the 23 and a half hours during which God is knocking at our door and we answer, I am busy, I am sorry, or when we do not answer at all? Let me ask you, when is the best time to pray? Of course, we can pray at any time and in any place. The Apostle Paul instructs us even to pray without ceasing, and God always welcomes our prayers whenever we offer them. And yet we find that it is important for us to set apart some time to enter into God's presence intentionally and pray. When I served at Grace United Methodist in Center Hall, there was an old regulator clock on the wall in the back of the sanctuary, and it might still be there. It was positioned much like the two electric clocks that we have over here, one just under the balcony and one back in the classroom. It was positioned so that people in the church couldn't see them during the sermon, but the preacher could. And one of the saints in the church always kept that clock running. And he'd come in before the first service on Sunday morning and pull out a key and wind up that old clock. And he used to tell me that he wound it first thing Sunday morning because he wanted to make sure that it kept accurate time the whole way through the morning. It's not that I mind if your sermon goes long, he would say. I just don't want you to be late for the next service. And then he would start to laugh, and so would I. I mean, do you know what it means when the preacher looks at the clock? Absolutely nothing. We might think of prayer as winding our spiritual clock. I can't explain it, but when I start the day in prayer, it seems I am more attentive to what God is up to through the rest of the day. Beginning the day in prayer also makes a difference in how I respond to the people and the circumstances that come my way that day. Now, a good winding in the middle of the day and in the evening can be of benefit as well. The important thing is that developing a relationship with God involves a commitment of time. And it also requires good communication. Communication, as Pastor Dave said, that involves talking and listening. Prayer is not just about talking to God. It also involves listening. Now, often we think of prayer as talking to God, and we teach our children to say their prayers, and that's a good thing. But true prayer is not just about me always pouring my needs out to God. It's also about me being attentive to what God might speak into my life. Notice what Peter says in verse 19. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now, what Peter is talking about there is the life that we are called to live between now and when Christ comes again. And he compares that life to being attentive to keeping a lamp shining in a dark place. Back then, of course, there was no electricity. Dark places were lit with lamps that required oil. And when your dark place is illumined by an oil lamp, you have to pay attention. You have to keep oil in it so that you are not left in the dark place. And so it is, says Peter, that we are to be attentive to the Word of God so that the light of God might be fully burning as we live in this world of darkness. Bishop Job says it this way, Christians at their best are good listeners. And the Christian church, when most faithful, is a listening community. Now let's read the next sentence together. This is great. To live with God in this world that God loves requires some intense and intentional listening. Intense and intentional listening. So what practices have you woven into your daily life so that you can listen to God intensely and intentionally? Tina Eaton, our director of adult discipleship, has put together this wonderful booklet for us to use so that we might keep the conversation with God going throughout the Lenten season. And if you haven't picked one up yet, there is a basket full of them out in the gathering space. This booklet contains some wonderful reflections in the first half of it from members of our church family. And then in the second half of it, there are scripture readings and prayer exercises for each day from the book that we're using by Bishop Job. We might gather around this devotional booklet as a way of intense and intentional listening for God's voice. And incorporating the scripture each day is so important because, as number 6 in our notes says, the Bible is our primary way to listen to God. Look at what Peter says about the Bible. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. As we open God's Word, the Spirit of God speaks. Maya Bowen, who is in our confirmation class this year, hi Maya, wrote one of the reflections in our Lenten devotional. And hers was a meditation on Psalm 1, which says that those who meditate on God's Word will be like trees planted by a stream of water. The stream, Maya writes, like God's Word, will be nurturing and will support the tree to live to its fullest potential as it grows. And then Maya writes this. Therefore, scripture meditation is using the Bible to ruminate on how Jesus transformed everything and how you can follow through and grow on what Jesus has instructed. Thank you, Maya. Thank you for reminding us of the critical importance that we would spend some time each day listening through the Word of God. So during this Lenten season, I am calling this entire congregation to a deeper prayer life. I'm calling you to prayer not because you have to pray or not because you should feel guilty if you don't pray. I'm calling you to prayer because God loves you. God sent His beloved Son to show us that. And God yearns for companionship with you. Companionship with you. Forming that connection, that vital connection, so that we can bear much fruit. Hear this invitation. Listen. God still speaks. Listen. God has a word for you. Listen. Let us pray. Oh God, we are so grateful for the gift of your presence, revealed to us most beautifully in your beloved Son. And as we gather at this table, Lord, for Holy Communion today, we are awakened once more to His amazing love for all of us. His body was broken. His blood was shed for our salvation. Lord, we ask that as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us, Lord, the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. And Lord, we ask too that as we receive Holy Communion, you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in our ministry to all the world. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.